seated. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I want to welcome those of you who are here this morning. This is the second of our 75th anniversary celebration services, and we're glad to have you each and everyone here with us this morning. You're going to receive a wonderful, wonderful blessing from the service today. If you'll notice out in the hallways, there are some TV screens that are scrolling some of the old videos of the old pictures. I want to encourage you to take time to look at those. There's a display out here in the foyer that has one on it too, and so we'll mention more about that later. But I want to welcome those who are watching on our live stream, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us. Do all those things there. Comment especially. That helps in those algorithms to get the word out even more. If you did not get one of the worship bulletins this morning, want to be sure you get one of those there in the windowsills at the sides as well as at the doors as you came in this morning. Feel free to get up and get one of those. There's lots of upcoming activities at home. You can go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin there. We have children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right. We'll be dismissing for children's church in a little while also, and so we'll let you know about that. That'll be over here to my right. And also under that info tab, you can download the prayer list. I want to encourage you, we've got several who are going through several issues. Want to make sure you grab one of those in person. They're out here on the table across from the offices, but it's also under the info link there on our church website. So just want to welcome everybody that's here. If you're a special guest today, you brought a special guest with you. Also want to make sure you pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage or at the doors. It's got some information in it about our church. It's also got some gifts in it that we want to give to you this morning to just say thank you so much for being here with us this morning. So we're looking forward to a wonderful service. It's good to be back from Canada. It's good in one way, it's not in another. I'm burning up when we came back to Tennessee. We had days that it was in the 40s for the highs in Canada. So it was a culture shock with the weather there. But good to be back and glad to be back with you. We are starting our service off as we do with all of these kinds of occasions when we have a baptism. We like to do it at the beginning. I don't like to do it at the end because it kind of seems tagged on to the end. Some people say, well, I got to get somewhere I leave and don't stay for the baptism. We want you to be here for it. This is something to celebrate. And when a person receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior and then follows through with obedience to the Lord. So let me read a verse of scripture to you from Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 4 that says this. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's what we have this morning. Caitlin Rogers is coming to be baptized. So, Caitlin, if you'll come into the water. Caitlin Rogers, what is your profession of faith?
Jesus, Lord.
Upon your profession of faith as Jesus is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in a newness of life. Amen. Amen. We're excited for her this morning. I want to encourage you to continue praying for her. Brother Matt's going to share announcements a little while later here, but Brother Mike, if you'll come up and lead us in our first hymn.
While they're coming up, welcome. Glad to see everybody this morning. If you weren't here last night, if you knew how good they would have been, you would have been kicking yourself this morning if you weren't here. Because they did an outstanding job and they've got a great choir. This morning, since you've been sitting a little while, if you would stand with us and turn your hymnals to 644 or sing from the screen. Are we up here? We're up here. Pat, count your blessings, 644. When upon life's pillows you are
Good morning, church. If you would, open with me to our missionary moment this week as we pray for Josh and Beth Glimp. And so also be in prayer for our Moldova missionaries, as something they have mentioned is to pray for Olivia and Paige, who are two interns who will be joining them this coming fall, and praying for their funding, travel, logistics, as it takes a lot to get there, and just pray that everything goes smooth as possible. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for this time together, and we thank you that we can gather in this place and worship you as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we pray for those today who do not have a relationship with you that are here. God, I pray that through this service that you would draw them to you. Lord, I pray that they would be willing and listen with open hearts and mind. Lord, I pray that you would teach us the things that we do not know, help us and guide us. And Lord, we pray for our missionary friends, the Glimp family in Jacksonville, as they are planting a church in Florida. And Lord, we pray for the work they are doing, that God, you would bless the works of their hands for your glory, guide them, help them, send workers to come alongside them to join their church and take part in the mission that you're doing there. And Lord, we pray too for our Moldova missionaries and for Olivia and Paige specifically, God, that you would they would just mesh well as a team and everything would go according to plan, and Lord, that you would just do something amazing, and we look forward to the reports that you're going to do through them. And Father, we thank you for this time together, and we also want to pray for the other associational Duck River team who headed to Canada just yesterday, God, that you would protect them and then just continue to be with them as they minister to the people there in Alberta, Canada. And Lord, we pray your provision and your blessings and protection upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I did want to mention is if you helped out last week with the Isaiah 117 Lemonade fundraiser, I don't know if you saw it, I posted on Facebook, but they, part of us and other area lemonade stands that were in the area, raised over $25,000 for the Isaiah 117 house. So that was, we were a small part of that, and that was just a blessing, yeah. So thank you so much for being a part of that. And the Isaiah 117 is a crucial ministry that's needed in this area. Don't forget about our cookout later today at 5. And if you have any questions, talk to Rick Miller, and he will be able to help you out with that. He's always glad to hand off something to do, so he's good at that. So I love you, Rick. I don't know where you're at, but if you also don't forget remember to, we have a couple things coming up in August, and want to highlight the Awana meeting on August 20th. You know, put that on your calendar. Be sure if find out ways that you can be involved and serve in Awana as that begins to rev back up in just a couple more months. So we need help with that. But with that, we'll, Brother Mike, continue on, lead us in worship.
Take your hymnals again, if you will, and turn to 514. The bulletin says we're singing the first, second, and third. I don't know why I didn't put a fourth in there, but we'll sing first, second, and third. When we all get to heaven. Ms. Pat?
I'm going to throw you a little curve up there, Ben. We're going to go to the next part with the 75th part and then come back to our choir special. We do want to emphasize this morning, as we have been all throughout this year thus far, about our 75th anniversary. It's not about making much of ourselves. It's about making much of God and what God has done through the tapestry work of this church from its beginnings in 1950. And so not only with that, with the history of our church, the CDC was started 55 years ago. And so we've got a brief video that we want to share with you this morning. So it has some things that you'll need to read. It has some things that you'll get to see of the past in our CDC ministry. What a wonderful ministry. Let's give the Lord a hand. We thank God for all he has done. I can't tell you the number of times that I'm out in the community and meet people and tell them where I'm the pastor at, and they'll say, oh yeah, I went to the CDC there, or I knew someone who was a teacher there. This ministry has impacted so many people, whether it's been those who have been students in the Child Development Center, or those who were children and then came back to be some of our teachers now. And so it's a great ministry that we have as a church to reach out into our community, to pour the gospel into kids' hearts. We share Bible stories with them every week during our chapel service. And so thank you so much as a church for supporting that. You'll see that video on the screens in the coming week in the out in the hallway. So be sure to stop and take a look at it. I know the names there. You maybe couldn't see all those names and reading through all of them, but you'll get to see those on the screens. Again, don't forget that out in the hallways playing on the TV screens right now are those videos that we showed the last time, the one Marilyn McClendon did that showed the history from 1950 to when she was here, and then the one that we presented last time that's about a five-minute video. It's just continuously scrolling, so take time to see that as well as the display out in the foyer. So I'll make some mention here of other things in a moment. And this is on our DVD. Which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, hear our cry as your church. We call on you through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray in every nation, Christ be known.
Redeem, revive.
your turn to sing. Stand with us as we sing 516, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. 516. Children's church gather on this side. I forgot about that. Second verse.
On the bright and cloudless morning, when the day Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to steady sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care.
Well, this morning, you're in for a wonderful, wonderful blessing. When we were talking about putting this service together, the thought that came to my heart and my mind was that we would embrace, we would celebrate the past, honor the past, and embrace the future. And in looking back at the past, we wanted to involve as many of our ministers from the past as possible. And so we had Brother Don for our first message to bring us, and Brother Wayne Wester has come, who's your former pastor here. I come in on the coattails of both of those and the foundation that they have laid, and God has used them here in the ministry of Highland Baptist Church. And so you give Brother Wayne a hearty welcome this morning. As you come, Brother Wayne, you come and share God's word for us. And don't worry about the clock on the wall. Take your time.
If you're a little too long, if you're a little too long, Ben up there may. Ben Murray.
Yeah, I see Ben. I know. You said I have to have everybody out by 12:30. I'll do it. All right. I thank you, Brother Jim, not only for the opportunity to be here, but to celebrate 75 years. You know, there is a natural lifespan to a church. When you first start out, you're risk takers. You got nothing to lose, man. You take risks because you want to build God's kingdom. But then you get buildings and programs and deacons and preachers and staff and pianos, you know, all this stuff, right? So you go from risk takers to caretakers. You want to take care of what God's blessed you with. But if you stay there too long, you become undertakers. That is the lifespan of a church. This church is alive and well. And it is really nice to see churches like that because so many are not. They are plateaued or declining or closed. When we went to Princeton to start a new work there, we began to try to cooperate with the church that was already there, a Southern Baptist church. In a town of 10,000, there was one Southern Baptist church in the county, about twice that. So we started our work. The other church, unfortunately, within about 4 years, had got to the point that they declined down to one family. And we tried to work with them to keep that church alive, but they made some poor decisions, and it wound up going to almost a cultist-style church. And 2 weeks later, they sold it to a developer who turned it into a Dollar General store. That was on the main drag in Princeton, and we were heartbroken to see that church become a store. But the story doesn't end there, nor does it end here. I do want to take a privilege, if I can, to tell you that I get to show you a picture of my son Nick and his wife Michaela, who is pregnant. I'm going to be a granddad. Well, I'm a granddad. Just in now the womb yet. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's funny because I don't look like a grandpa. Wendy looks like a grandma, but. So they are due December the 2nd. And my daughter, Sarah, many of you remember Sarah, her husband, Matt, they're due 2.5 years from today. I do want to show you a little bit about our church. I know people have asked me since I've been here about it and it burning and all that kind of stuff. We were very blessed. We bought an old church, not that one. We bought an old church that was abandoned for 16 years. It had birds living in it and everything else. We could afford it, though. In all the years that we've been there, about 9 years, we've never been in debt as a church, ever. It's miraculous. Because our whole budget this year is $75,000. Now put that together. And never in debt. You think God isn't still on his throne? He's done miracle after miracle after miracle. So that building, we called it the Blue Building. We fixed it up and painted it bright blue on purpose. We wanted to be known in our community. So when you went around and people said, what church are you at? We said, we're at the Blue Church over in the corner. Oh, yes, we know that church. Well, it worked. And we started growing to the point that we overgrowed that little building. And we were saving up money to expand there. And I got a call one night from a realtor we knew and said, did you know the building down there that used to be the old Methodist church? Do you know what's happening with that? I said, no. And it's a long story, but a developer had bought it and was renting it out. And it was going to be gone on a tax sale. He didn't know about it and all that. Anyway, I called the guy and I said, hey, would you sell us that building for $40,000 because that's all we have? And he said, well, of course I won't. It cost me more than that. Get out of hock. I said, well, just consider these two things before you say no forever. One, you're a developer, you're a businessman here in this little community, and man, don't you know we're going to laud your praises of giving us that building for the money we had. That money can't buy it. But money is important, and so I'm going to tell you how you can make some. If you sell us that building for $40,000, have it appraised, and it appraises for $1 million, it appraised for 1.8. But if you have it appraised, it's just like you put that cash in the offering plate of our church, and over the next 5 years, you can amortize that as a write-off on your taxes. And in your tax bracket, that's got to mean a lot of money to you. So one is tangible, makes money in your pocket, and one, money can't buy. Would you just please say yes and help our little church out? And he goes, you got the cash? And I said, yes, sir. I found out later we were $8 short and had to scramble to get $8. And we paid $40,000 cash for a 20,000 square foot building that was beautiful. We began to remodel it and get it all fixed up. We were working on that, and it got destroyed on June the 20th, 2025. You can see from the next picture, it was burning there. In fact, it was completely consumed. Nothing was standing except for some of the outer brick walls. We had remodeled the sanctuary and reclaimed it. It was really getting to be just a beautiful spot in the sanctuary on the next picture there. That's one. And then here's another picture of the sanctuary. We had fancy lights and digital sound. We had it all going on, man. But unfortunately, on January the 20th, that night, here was a picture from inside that beautiful sanctuary. Now, friends, that'll break your heart. But the most devastating thing in the life of our church was that day, and out of that day has become just a brilliant blessing from a God that's on his throne, that out of the ashes we go forward. Our motto was to go forward in faith, trusting that God will do for us, and he has. You remember I told you that main strip where that church was on that got sold and now is a store? Well, we were able to get the winning bid for a store that's now going to be a church on that same main strip. Now, you think God doesn't have a sense of humor? The insurance company, we couldn't afford replacement costs, obviously, so we had something called ACV, stands for actual cash value. We thought we were getting $1.62 million because that's what the policy was for, because of a rare and seldom used glitch in the Indiana law, the insurance company kept one-third of that from us. It was so obscure that our agent and her office had never heard of that law. It was real. But we were able to get the winning bid on that building, what we thought would sell for more than we had in the bank. We got it for $200,000 less than we thought we'd have to bid. God is good. We've even got enough money in the bank now, we're going to be able to remodel it, make it look like God lives there. It's pretty amazing. I could tell you miracle after miracle after miracle, but here's the biggest one. We have a lot of people that haven't joined our church officially, but we have 80 official members, and out of those 80, 59 are conversions and baptisms. Guys, that's pretty cool. Now, that's why our budget isn't big, because new Christians don't know about tithing and all those kind of stuff. You have to grow in the Lord before you do that, I guess. But God has sent what we needed every time we needed it, one way or the other, including folks from this church and this community to come help us make that church building look like God lived there. By the way, we're going to be doing it again, so get your tool belts out. We'll need you again. It's just amazing what God has done. And all of that wouldn't be there if this church wasn't here. You know, it doesn't just happen in what happens in this sanctuary. It happens with what happens outside this sanctuary that God puts into your hearts before you leave. And to have that family, to have that generosity, to have that support and prayer, I believe in the power of prayer. We've had miracle after miracle after miracle happen in the life of our church and our people. It has truly been humbling. We know that we need to remember all that was done for us by this congregation and so many others. And on their behalf, I stand here today humbly thanking you for so much. As we go forward, you pray that not only do we have a lot of people still saved and get baptized, but we have a DNA in our church now that those people go tell other people about Jesus. It's pretty fun to have a church that their DNA is to go tell people about Jesus. It's pretty cool. And we're blessed, brother, have one deacon. Just one. Isn't that great? Yeah. You know, my joke about deacons, it makes a point in a hilarious way. You know, preachers are paid to be good. Deacons are good for nothing. Yeah. And it's true. They serve at the good will of their Father out of love and dedication, not for any amount of money or anything they get from the church, but just because of their diligence to be servants. So I love deacons. All right. So I gotta preach this sermon in 16 minutes. I can do it. If you can listen quick enough, I can talk fast enough. You ready? All right. We're going to be looking into Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 7. I'll have it up on the screen later, but if you want to look at that in your own scripture, please look that up, Deuteronomy 32, 3 through 7. Don't forget to remember. That is not a unique title to my sermon, but it is a unique sermon to that title for me. Deuteronomy is an interesting book. It is the fifth book of what's called the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. Penta meaning five, tuch meaning law. The first five books of the law is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is actually from a Greek word, deuteronomino, and it means second law. So Deuteronomy is basically three sermons. I mean, you could look at it, speeches or whatever, but it's basically three sermons from Moses that says, don't forget what he did for you, do for him and tell others about it, and along the way, don't get ornery about it. You know, basically that's Deuteronomy summed up. So we don't want to forget to remember. It's important to remember stuff. Men, when I got married, my wife did weird things to remind me to put the toilet seat down. Some of them were not pleasant, some of them were painful. You don't want to forget. Don't want to forget your wife's birthday, your anniversary, something like that. There was a lady that went to her husband the day before her birthday and said, I know that you've forgotten, but tomorrow's my birthday. I expect something out in that driveway that'll go from like 0 to 200 in 2 seconds flat. She wanted a new hot rod car. The next day on her birthday, there was something in the driveway. And have you heard this? I like it. Yeah, don't share it as soon. Yeah. She opened up the box. It was a box with a ribbon on it, and it was a set of scales. George's funeral is next Saturday at 10 p.m. We don't want to forget to remember, and it's so easy to forget, isn't it? And we're going to look at these three things, because I'm a Baptist preacher, we have three. What God has done for us, we see in this passage of Scripture, what we are to do for God, and to help others to remember to do those things as well. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4, it says this, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that that passage is so true. We need to proclaim your name. You are great. You are the only true God. You are a rock. Your ways are perfect, and everything you do is just. We need to be faithful to you, Lord, because you have that right before us, and because you love us, we love you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good all the time. When something happens good, I hear as a preacher, oh, you know what happened? It was great. It was just so great. Isn't God good? And I said, yeah, and if that hadn't happened, he's still that good. We forget, man, not just when something happened good in your life is God good. God's good when stuff bad in your life happens. He's still that good God. Listen, the Bible is a love story from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's love story about his love for us. He loves us. Now, we don't always act as good children. Amen? When God tells you he's taking you to the woodshed, whoo, I hate that. I just hate it. Me and Wendy have something that if it's something very serious in our lives, we have what's called bathroom talks. We go to the bathroom and have that talk. It's a long story how that came about in our lives. But not too many years ago, we hadn't had one of those in many, many years. And Wendy said, Wayne, I need to talk to you in the bathroom. And I said, I swear to you, I don't know what I did. I don't remember anything bad. I swear to you. And she goes, what are you talking about? The toilet's clogged. I was never so happy to plunge a toilet in my life, man. Listen, it is easy for us to forget God's goodness, isn't it? Because tragedies come. This world's not heaven. You know what Satan does in this world? He goes to church every Sunday, by the way. You know that? He shows up. He ain't up here. He ain't in here to worship God. He's in here to keep you from doing so. You know, Satan doesn't care if you buy a Bible. It could be big enough choke a mule. He won't give you a problem for that. He doesn't really mind it so much if you read it. But start doing what it says, and he'll come against you. But God is a bigger warrior than Satan. We need to remember that. God is good all the time. He's always just. He's always the rock. He's always that upright. Always. Even when tragedies happen. Always. When do we need God more? When we're on the mountain peaks, riding life high, or in the valleys, crying each night? Don't run away from God. Remember, he's there for you. He loves you. And when those tragedies come, run to him. So we don't want to forget to remember what God has done for us. Point number one. It says in Romans, it says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 10, it goes on to say, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Man, I like that passage of scripture. Listen, there are people that I love in the Lord, and I don't like them at all. Y'all have them people in your life? Oh, you're acting all pious now. I'm not that kind of person, Brother Wayne. Yes, you are. There are people you love to death in the Lord, but when you get around them, they just suck it out of you, don't they? Isn't that right, Brother Jim? Yeah, who are they? It's true, guys. You don't have to like the presence or the company or having social events with every single person that you know. It's okay. You might not have a lot in common. It might be that, you know, it's just you rub each the wrong way, whatever. But you got to love them. Love them. And when I was a guy that was unlovable, not just unlikable, unlovable, God loved me. He loved me so much that he sent his only son to pay for my sins. Our sins. That's love. And because he did that, while I was yet a sinner, I get to be reconciled to him. That's what it says in verse 10. We have been reconciled that we are saved through his life. Reconciled, that's a hard word to describe. Kind of settled, worked out to a victorious conclusion. That's the best way I can put that, man. Reconciled to God. And it's because he lives, I can live. You know, I serve Jesus for a lot of reasons. One of the main ones is he's living. If I was going to serve a dead God, I can tell you exactly who I would serve. Buddha. Oh, no doubt. He's a little fat guy they bring food to people. You understand? If I was going to serve a dead God, it'd be Buddha. But why in the world would I serve a guy that died when I can serve a guy that's alive and is God? It makes no sense to me. A lot of people do it. It doesn't make any sense. We need to remember what God has done for us, and the biggest thing he's done for us is live so he can give us life and forgive us our sins. That's why I love Jesus. You know, the payoff for heaven someday, that's cool, right? I mean, yeah, the pay with being in the ministry, well, I don't know, you make pretty good money. You want to share some of that later? Take me out to eat or something. But the pay in the ministry usually isn't all that great. Because after you get your package, you got to take out everything, right? You take out your health insurance and your car expense and your suit cleaning and, you know, all of that comes out of it, right? So it dwindles down where it's decent. It's not bad, but you don't get rich, that's for sure. But the retirement plan for every Christian is out of this world. It's fantastic. It's called heaven. But if that wasn't the great payoff, I'd live as a Christian in this world because I've lived without Jesus, and to live with him is better. Harder, amen, but better. So we need to remember what he has done for us because he ain't dead. And then we need to remember what he's done for us in the simple aspect of he lives, he loves, and he saves. That's summing up Jesus for me in just a short sentence. Listen, this is all kind of summing it up too right here. God sent Jesus from heaven to die on the cross for us and then raised him from the dead so he could give us eternal life. That's Christianity, and I love it. Amen? That's enough. If all God did was send his son and gave us this on the cross and then lived from the grave, that'd be enough. But he doesn't quit there. Everybody's told me once I have grandbabies, I'll be surprised how much I laud over them and want to be generous to them and all that kind of stuff. But we'll see. I'm already, man, trying to get healthier. Where's Dr. Lee? Are you in here? Raise your hand. Dr. Lee. You know, you helped me, brother, in so many ways. I carried a little thing in my wallet from you to try to help me lose weight. I think it said, "You're fat, stop eating," something like that. It was very touching, I remember. It was actually scripture. But one of the things that's helped me is the day that, unfortunately, this day was a weird day. We got a call from Nick and Sarah about a year ago and said, hey, Nick and Michaela. I only have two. You'd think I'd keep them straight. Nick and Michaela called us. We were out eating at a restaurant and said, hey, the reason we were going to come down this week is to share with you that we're pregnant. And literally, my psyche changed. My paradigms changed. Because I'd always said, I told Dr. Lee, he said, well, you know, your blood sugars are bad and you're overweight and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you got to die something, you know, and I'm ready to go. And he said, yeah, but do you want to die where you lose a foot, then a leg, then an arm, you know, huh? But what changed me more than anything was when they told me I was going to be a granddad and I thought, I'd like to stay around here. They immediately said, but wait, it's not alive. And that baby perished. But in that moment, I realized, you know what? To be healthy is a good thing. It's a godly thing. But my desire to be around this world increased when I knew there was going to be a grandbaby around this world. You see, we need to remember so that we don't forget to tell others. So we don't want to forget what God has done for us. There's a man named Jimmy G. This is an amazing story. Some of you might know this story, Dr. Lee, being a doctor. You still a physician? Incredible. All right. Dr. Oliver Sacks wrote a book called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Do you know this book? It's amazing. Jimmy G. was a patient he met in 1975. Jimmy G. could not remember anything from 1945 to that moment. Not a thing. Jimmy G, in his mind, was a 19-year-old soldier that was just getting out of the military at the end of the war. Jimmy G didn't know that he was married. Jimmy G didn't know he had kids, didn't know anything. In fact, when the doctor held a mirror up to him and he saw a 49-year-old man in the mirror, it scared him because in his mind he was 19. The doctor talked to him, interviewed him, found out that he did something quick like play checkers and kept the movement going. He could do that, but chess, he would forget because it took too long to make a move. So he got a lot of information from Jimmy and got to know Jimmy. And he had to walk out of the room, talk to his nurse for about a minute and a half. He walked back in and Jimmy said, "Well, hello, my name's Jimmy." He'd forgotten everything about that visit for those 2 hours. Can you imagine? Not to remember what you look like. You know, the Bible says in James that if a man looks in a mirror and he doesn't, he's not a man that does what God says to do. It's like he looked there and forgot what he looked like as soon as he turns away. Forgot that so quick? It'd be horrible. You couldn't remember that you had kids. You couldn't remember what God had done for you. You couldn't remember any of this. It's all a blank page for 30 years. Pretty decent book. You might want to pick it up and read it. It had other studies in there as well. So people, praise God you have a memory. And praise God that he chose not to remember some things. Amen? Brother Jim, I don't know you well. I admire you as a pastor and as a leader of this church. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and it does my soul well to see that happen. But if I followed you for a month, I bet I'd find some dirt on you, don't you think? Yeah. One thing in a month. Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. You know what God says in Hebrews? He said that he will be faithful and just to forgive us and remember our sins no more. God gave himself a power that I can't even imagine to never recall something on purpose. Guys, there's some things that we ought to want to forget. Forget. Don't forget the important stuff, but leave all the junk out. If you had a garden, and I don't know if some of you are into flowers, I'm into, you know, food. So mine would be a vegetable garden. And you go to your garden and you see a weed. Anybody's ever had a garden, what do you do with a weed? If you can, you pull it up by the roots and get rid of it, right? If not, you squirt something on it that kills it. And you might walk in there and see it dead, but it ain't doing any more harm. It's just a memory that won't hurt you anymore either. Why don't we do that with memories of our minds and our life? Gardens. Why don't we do that? You know what we do? We treat that weed with special care. We put a little tin over it to protect it. We water it, man. We tell our friends about it and keep it alive. You know what happened? And then we recant that story. We keep that weed alive and it's killing our gardens. Why are humans like that? I don't get it. Well, stop it. You don't need to do that anymore, man. Kill the weed. It can't hurt your garden of life if you look at it and go, yeah, I went through that. That was cruddy, but it ain't hurting me today. Look at that thing dying. Amen? If you don't get anything out of this message, get that. We don't need to have weeds in our garden. We can kill them things off. Some you can pull up by the weed, by the root, and just get rid of, right? And those are wonderful. Some, it'll be a scar the rest of your life. But if somebody comes in your garden, it's dead. You aren't going to point at it and go, look at that one. You're going to point at the ones that are living and going, you want a tomato? And if somebody says, what's that? Oh, yeah, that was a weed, but we killed it off. We need to realize what God has done for us. We need to remember. And some things we need to remember to forget. All right, so in verse 5 and 6 of Deuteronomy, it says, they, could be we, us, they are corrupt and not his children, these people that aren't living right. To their shame, they are a warped and crooked generation. Is this the way that you repay the Lord, you foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? Yes, he is. The second thing we got to remember is what we are to do for God. Don't forget what this God did for you. He saved you. By the way, if you're here today and you ain't a Christian, get to be a Christian today. What are you waiting on? I've never met a Christian that looked back at their salvation and said to me as a pastor, I wished I'd have never done that. I wished I'd have never given my life and heart to Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Not one soul that I've ever had an opportunity to minister to or meet that's a Christian has ever said, I'm so sorry I did that. Not one. But I've had many, some on their deathbed. Why did I wait? Why couldn't I just simply take that step? Everyone in here has faith in something. Some, many, I hope, have faith in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And some, you believe that you die, you rot, that's the end of it, right? Or you believe that you're a good person and you don't believe the narrow-mindedness and only through Jesus, God is good, right? And you're not bad. I mean, Mike, compared to some of these people in this room, you're a godly man, right? So compared to others, you get to go to heaven if you think that way. But we are all ungodly people, sinners saved by grace. So there's room for one more sinner at this church. Come on. And say yes to Jesus. Place your faith wherever it is right now. If it's not in Jesus Christ, place it in Him. If God can save a wretch like Wayne Wester, I promise you He can save you. We need to remember what God has done for us. We need to hold on to those days, and we need to celebrate that God lives and God saves. Okay, so second thing we need to do is to know that what we need to do and what you know, I speak for a living. What we are to do for God. Okay, that's the second thing. Listen to what it says here. It says in Luke 4 at 8, and Matthew 20, 28, it says these words, Jesus speaking. It says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only, just as the Son of Man did, not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you sacrificed for somebody for the Lord? Just think in your head, when did I actually make a sacrifice in life, a real sacrifice in life for the Lord God? Maybe it was to help somebody that needed food. Maybe it was to do a chore for somebody who couldn't do for themselves. Maybe it was to give a kind word to somebody that wasn't giving you kindness. Maybe it was to, you know, not get mad at somebody that cut you off on the highway. I work on that one still. Maybe it was just simply to tell Jesus, hey, good morning, Lord, and I love you. When's the last time you really sacrificed for the Lord? We're a spoiled generation. We gripe and complain if the AC is not cold enough, if the pews aren't soft enough, if the music is too loud or not loud enough, if it's not the kind of music we like. We are a spoiled generation. So when's the last time you sacrificed something for God? We need to do that. The Bible's very clear. Then it says in Deuteronomy, back to our focal passage, verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. Listen, ask your father if he's around. Over 25% of families in America have an absentee dad, and that breaks my heart. One in every four children have no father in their home. Men, if we did our jobs right, the family would be doing better. If we did our jobs right, the church would be doing better. If we did our jobs right, men, we'd be doing better. Now, I know none of y'all are in that boat, but you probably know somebody that is. Maybe you're hearing a grandparent and raising a grandchild or a niece or a nephew. It's happening too often in our society. So I pray that we'll see more dads be dads. But then it says, and then tell their elders, and they will explain it to you. It didn't have to be a relative. You know, there are elders in this church, I'm sure. Like, Mark, are you an elder? Are you a deacon, right? Yeah. That's kind of an elder in this church, isn't it? Mike and Brother Jim and I don't know, who else? If you're a deacon in this church, hopefully you act as an elder. You can tell these people that are new Christians what it's all about. And I hope they seek that wisdom. But vet them first. I had somebody in my church that was going around spreading this rumor. John from the Bible is still living. Yeah, figure that one out. He'd be over 2,000 years old. I don't think that's accurate. Be careful. Vet everybody. But then let them go, man. Let them go tell people about Jesus. All right, so we need to, what God has done for us, remember what we are to do for God, and then to tell others, to help them to remember as well. It says in Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, another question. Are you as dedicated and as close to the Lord in this moment in your walk with Him as you've ever been in your walk as a Christian? Is today You are closer to the Lord, more dedicated servant, more humble in spirit, more generous in your service, time, and efforts. Are you closer to him today than you've ever been? If that's not true, change. It's a choice. Now, your feelings might not come along with you right away, but they will. If you want to change your feelings, change your behavior. I was coming to church here one day, and I'm not going to embarrass and tell you who it was, but I was riding behind somebody that was going the speed limit, of course, and I was a little upset with that, but because you should go a little bit under, right, to be godly. You should go just a little, well, I go fast, but anyway, I was riding behind, and they were getting at it. So when they pulled in the parking lot, I pulled kind of behind them. They get out, and I'm standing there, and they get out finally. They look at me, and they went, "Hey, Pastor Wayne." And I said, "Hey, how are y'all doing this morning?" "Fine." "And you?" And I said, "I'm doing good." I said, "A little bit ago when y'all was in the car in front of me, y'all looked like y'all was having a squabble." And they said, "We were." I said, "Well, looks like you're doing better now. All you got to do is change your actions, change your behavior. It changes your feelings." You ever had somebody get mad at you, or you get mad at you, you're having a big squabble, and the phone rings? "Well, I can tell you one thing right now. Hello." You ever had that in your house? Guys, change your behavior. It changes your feelings. And your behavior should go from ungodly-like to godly-like. I had somebody tell me years ago, "Wayne, if you just want to have a pity party, set your alarm clock on your watch for 7 minutes and just bask in it. Just tell the Lord, man, oh man, those people out there, and I'm better than that. Yeah, just bask in it, man." But when that alarm goes off, repent, draw unto the Lord, ask him for forgiveness, and go serve him better. Well, I got, you know, mad about something. Who knows? Probably something Wendy did, because God knows she's a sinner. And I got upset, and I don't remember what it was about. And I remember what that guy told me. And I set my watch for 7 minutes to go off. After about 2.5 minutes, I felt like a complete idiot. Guys, I don't have to set my watch anymore. It's pretty quick where I go, huh. And the other thing is this. You know how we read the Bible and we're always the hero? You know, right? Right, Daniel in the lion's den, we're Daniel, right? The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not everybody outside there. We're the three in there. We're always the hero. No, we're not. Sometimes we're the patootie. We're the ones bowing down to a false god. We're the ones not being godlike. So when somebody comes at me with something, and they mean it kind of mean or something like that, you know what? I always try to do this. They may have a point. Remember, you're not perfect. I mean, I'm really close, of course, but we're not perfect yet, right? Remember, sometimes people might tell you something that hurts your heart but can sharpen your service to the king. We need to remember to tell others and encourage others. It's important that we do that. The Bible says it is so. So if you're not as close to the Lord today, right now, than you've ever been, change your behavior. It'll change your life. I could have preached this sermon with one cell, and I apologize I went over, brother. I normally don't do that, but I'm never coming back probably, so who cares? I am getting paid the same amount, though, right? Okay, well. I could appreciate that with this one cell, don't forget to remember Jesus. Put that one up, brother. That's it. Don't forget to remember him. Remember him when somebody says a sharp word to you that cuts you to the quick. Remember him when somebody cheats you in a business deal. Remember when you're not lauded like you think you ought to be for something that you did, and that's what you were looking for, accolades instead of glory to God. Remember when somebody cut you off in the highway. Somebody did that to me many years ago now, and I was driving a motorhome. They cut in front of me and slammed on their brakes. That ain't cool. And so after I slammed on my brakes and didn't hit them, I floored it. I was going to drive up there and, you know, do the pick maneuver and get them off the road, right, or something. Wendy, she's the nice one, looked over at me and said, "Really, Wayne? Really?" And I said, "Well, somebody's got to straighten them out. I'm just a man to do it." honey, you don't know what's going on. They might need to get off on that exit, which they did. Maybe they have somebody sick in there, a pregnant wife. You don't know what's going on with them. Instead of getting mad at them, how about we pray for them? You know, when Wayne comes out, that ain't so pretty. But when the Lord comes out of Wayne, that's pretty cool. Let's try to remember Jesus every minute of every day. You won't always get it right, people. You won't always please everybody around you. You won't always do the godly thing. You won't always have the smartest answer. But if you're His, relax. And don't forget to remember Him. Let's pray. Father, as we come in this hour, I thank You so much that You haven't forgotten me. Father, there was a time in my life when I used to say good morning to You and then quickly pray and get away from You because I knew the stench of my sin and the ugliness of my heart was something that it was hard for You to spend time with. I know how stupid that was now because I have my own children. Lord, You can't wait to spend time with me. You want me to be near You all the time, and that is so precious to me. Father, may we simply never forget to remember. We thank You for the time to remember 75 years of dedication of so many servants, sacrifices made, and a church that stands today because of that legacy. Lord, may all that come behind us find us faithful as well. Help us to remember Jesus. We praise You and pray in that name. Amen. I'm going to be standing up here, and Brother Jim will too. If you need to make a decision for the Lord, it may have nothing to do with what we talked about today, but don't let this moment go by. Don't let it. It's eternal. If you need to speak with one of us, give your life to Christ, pray, whatever, we'll be here to receive you. You come.
I want to remind everyone that next Sunday is our promotional Sunday, and so if you have a kid who's in the nursery who's going to pre-K, they will move to Miss Pat and Brenda's class for Sunday school, as well as if you have a child going into first grade, they will move up into the children's Sunday school department upstairs. And if you have a, this is the bad news, if you have a kid going to third grade, they will remain in here for our services. And so and we will, because remember, Children's Church is pre-K to second grade, so it's not really bad news, but you know, it's a good time to have family worship as well. So thank you.
Got a few on the prayer request. Jacqueline Painter, recovering for surgery, and then Beth Kidd is in PCU in Tullahoma. Don't forget the cookout this afternoon at 5. The hamburgers, hot dogs, everything will be provided. Y'all need to bring some ice cream. There's also a sign-up sheet for that simulcast for the women.
Priscilla Shire.
Is that how you say it?
There's no charge.
Yeah, no charge. You just need to know for sign up for lunch. How many, you know, for to provide that. So I think that's it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for Brother Wayne for coming down and preaching your word. Just be with their ministry as they God direct them as through him, and just let you shine through him and through their family. Just be with us as we go out through this day. In your name I pray, and amen.